Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, cashing a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast. Here are your hosts, Dale Lippin and Trey Van Buskirk.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Punch List MMA Podcast. If you're listening to this not live, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are. If you don't know who I am by now, I'm Dale Lippin. Across the screen from me is my main man, my partner in crime, none other than Trey Van Buskirk himself. How we doing, buddy?
Whew, dude, ready to crack off a little pay-per-view. I'm excited.
Yeah, what do you got, a little Cutwater margarita in a can there?
I had two Cutwater margaritas before I jumped on the show here, and now I'm going from sixth gear to second gear. I'm doing a nice hard seltzer now. I'm going straight up Paul Walker, Fast and Furious right now.
Nice. Yeah. What do the Cutwater margaritas taste like? Because I've had those in my hand a few times and I've yet to pull the trigger on it.
They're dangerous because they have legitimate, whether it's rum, tequila, vodka, whatever it is in it, like literally from reputable brands.
Right.
The problem is they're so delicious because of the amount of sugar in it. So it's one of those things where you drink it, you get an insane buzz, but then at 2 a.m. you're like, water.
Yeah.
I need water.
Yeah. I can't do the sugary stuff anymore, man. I really can't. Plus on top of the fact that every time I eat something bad, you body shame me. So it's just really, really keeping me honest here. So let's, I don't want to beat around the bush. I've got some Steak Classy meats thawing downstairs, because after this, I'm going to go ahead and cook and get everything ready for the rest of the week. I will be on vacation this week, starting tomorrow. So from tomorrow up until this time next week, anybody that you guys interact with on social will be
Trayvon
Buskirk. So if you have any gripes, woo, any complaints, anything wrong, direct them directly to Trey.
Oh man, it's going to be wild. It's going to be like we're on Dumbo at Disneyland, but just absolutely shit-faced the whole time.
I'm excited for it. I will be unplugged for the week. Much needed unplug, as you know, because you get the notifications too. I spent most of the day arguing with idiots online because, I don't know, I just had time for it today, I guess. But it's occupying too much space in my brain. So I'm going to let it go for a week. Unplug, unwind. I've got some Steak Classy meats downstairs so I can prep out my food for tomorrow and the day after before we actually leave to go to, I'm not going to tell you where I'm going, but till we leave to go where we go.
Well, I'm a little bit confused though. I saw you hold up a little like hydro flask there. I was hoping that you were going to have a flask, some type of alcohol, not a flask of water.
Yeah, I'm doing water right now because admittedly, and I'm going to be honest with you, I've not been taking good care of myself the last couple weeks. The number one thing outside of not getting any sleep, because I don't sleep very well at all. I don't get enough sleep and I don't hydrate well. And, you know, I just, it's two things that I know I need to be better at. So I've been making a concentrated effort over the last week or so to go to bed at a decent time and drink more water. I'm not taking any more melatonin because melatonin completely screwed me up. So no more melatonin. I'm tapering back off the beer a little bit and just trying to get back into a more regular sleep cycle.
I don't want to call you a retard, but you're going on vacation. You're telling me you're not based in that belly. You're not getting a good lubricant of what is alcohol. Dale, if anyone knows anything, they know that you are the master baster, dude.
That's true. I'm not saying I'm not going to drink beer while I'm on vacation. I'm just saying that, like, coming home from work, right? And then I love the chat real quick. Serbia live play plus 155 against China women's basketball. Take it before it's too late.
Oh, jump
Marvin, I appreciate you appealing to all of the degenerate gamblers that listen and watch our show. Man, thank you so much. I know you put me on a soccer play before and I just can't figure out soccer odds. So I missed it, but it did hit. So I appreciate your live handicapping. And hopefully people take you up on it. Serbia live play plus 155. All right. I like that. Threw me off track. I'll drink beer on vacation. It's just coming home from work, slamming three beers, eating whatever I want, and then drinking two more beers before I go to bed, and doing that over the course of like the last year. It's got your boy in a bad spot.
Well, the good thing is at least you're going to be looking good. And what's behind you is looking amazing. You got a nice little Allegiance Stay True banner. I love it. I actually, you're watching this in the live stream, it looks like I'm in Guantanamo Bay. I look like in a freaking shelter right now in between studios. But just hope you're going to be dressed to the nines, man. You posted something that I just have to touch on real quick. That was the coolest thing.
Sure.
Adam Gamill waited 5 years to compete in the 200 meter at the Olympics only to, what, pull his hamstrings in warm-up?
I think he blew his hamstring out.
Blew it. But what did that patriot of his own Great Britain country do?
He still lined up, and whenever they, you know, shot the pistol, he walked. He still so competed. Still competed.
That's what it is.
I need more of that. I need more of that.
The cool thing is, dude, when you wear something like Allegiance Clothing, Dale, that's what you're representing. You're representing someone that's staying true, someone that's committed, and that someone's going to be there wearing quality stuff and being a quality person. So guys, if you want to replicate what you saw Dale post today, you want to feel that vibe, dude, you need to go to allegianceclothing.com, type in that code punch, you're 15% off site wide.
What's the code for stay classy?
Oh, fist. Boom. Fist. 10% like off.
All right, let's talk about last week's card real quick. Cursed from the jump. Should have known better. Made multiple posts about staying away. Did not adhere to my own advice. Stayed away from all of the safe plays, got cheeky with everything, and didn't get a single play right. I don't get blanked very often. In fact, you know what's crazy? It's almost a year to the day, event-wise, the last time I got blanked.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
We got blanked in July of last year, and that was a collective blanking back when we were doing our universal slip, and we got blanked in July.
It was also a cursed card.
It was also a cursed card. You're right. So almost a year to the day, we get blanked yet again.
Yeah.
That will not happen this week. Even if I have to take just one super safe play, I will not get blanked 2 weeks in a row. I refuse. I absolutely refuse. I'm better than that. I'm smarter than that. I know the sport better than that. a bunch of full moon, Mercury and retrograde bullshit happened on Saturday, and I'm not having it 2 weeks in a row.
Well, dude, when three fights get canceled, what was a 9-fight card? The question is to all our listeners out there, do we just back off? Do we bail?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things where we see if stuff starts falling apart, is it more advantageous of us to just back away and not bet it entirely?
Right.
Or do you just play heavy favorites? Like we said on the show, and I don't think anybody ever thought it was in doubt, Sean Strickland was going to beat Uriah Hall.
Yeah.
We figured that was going to happen. I mean, most people thought, and our assumption has always been, Uriah Hall is awful when the lights are the brightest. And Sean Strickland is a pressure fighter, and he's going to beat him up. But what were the odds on Strickland? Like a minus two, what? 280?
There's no value.
Something like that? So we were like, there's no value in it. But that's the safest play possible.
Right.
So do we play the safest play possible and put out a super chalky slip? Or do we not play anything at all? Or do we take risks and say bet conservatively? Did I say bet conservatively on the caption?
I don't think you did. You did. What am I talking about? Yeah, you absolutely did. I'll read your actual caption because what you wanted to do that night was to end in the black. So you here we are. The card wasn't the thickest to begin with. Now we have this husk of an event to work with. Profit is key today. Let's just end in the black. Black days are good days. Safe, conservative, nothing fancy. Boom, dude. Fancy.
And then I went 0-4. But you did well. What did you do? 3-1?
Yeah, not bad. And the week before, dude, I've been on a heater. I don't want to say it out loud, but I'm on a heater.
Are you on a heater? I thought you did pretty poorly the week before last.
No. I'm on a heater.
Do I need to fact check you here?
You fact check me right now.
I will fact check you.
Don't put COVID on it either, because I ain't got it anymore.
You ain't got it?
No.
You got the antibodies? Hey, let's do me a favor. Let's not mention the C word today, because I'm in a mood. All right. So
I don't have it, dude, so I don't need to.
Right. So you said Alan Soriano over 1.5. That hit.
Bang.
Costa versus Yanez over 1.5. That missed, did it not?
It did miss. Yeah. By 20 seconds. Yeah.
Barber money line. Robbery bang. Of all robberies. That's
BS. It's a bang. Bang.
Imavov money line. Miss.
Bang. Imavov won. What are you talking about?
Did he?
Yes, dude. Absolutely. That was one of my like heaviest bets I made of the entire night. I put like 900 units on it.
Who did he fight?
I can't even remember. Some scrub, and you know, Imavov was at plus money.
Oh, Heinisch. Did he fight Ian Heinisch?
Right. Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. Yeah.
Dillashaw money line. Okay.
Yep. Bang.
Dillashaw Sanhagen inside the distance that missed, and Yanez Allen parlay.
Bang.
That bang. So all right. So you did do all right. You did do all right.
What do you act like you're about to take off my training wheels, dude? Like,
no, you're right. No, here's the thing is I got, I'm mistaken. I'm the one that got shit pumped 2 weeks ago too. So you're right. You told me I was on a cold streak and maybe I actually am.
Dude. Yeah.
That's how I know I'm a degenerate is I feel like I'm winning even when I lose. Dude,
let me fly, man. Take my clipped wings off. I'm ready to fly.
You're right. All right. Well, I'm going to completely set you loose here. Any takeaways from last week? I'm going to go ahead and make a daily reminder that Chris Tognoni is the worst ref currently on the UFC roster. I'm going to continue to say that.
Yeah. It's fair.
He was awful this last weekend. Any bet that I have that he is the referee or the official for, it goes the opposite way for me every single time. Doesn't matter if he's the referee for Derek Lewis versus Ciryl Gane, it will be the opposite of whatever I'm going to say later on today.
Yes.
It'll be the opposite. It'll be Derek Lewis by submission.
Yeah.
If Chris Tognoni is the ref, that's what's going to happen. He is awful. Or
he's so bad.
Or Derek Lewis will pretend like he got hit in the nuts and then Tognoni will wave the fight off. Something like that. He's horrendous. I would rather keep our current judging system and get rid of Chris Tognoni than keep Chris Tognoni and change the judging. That's how much I dislike that man. I don't think he's good at all.
I totally agree. That was so accurate. It was insane. The only takeaway I have is, is Sean Strickland a little bit of a gimmick, dude? I'm not talking about his fighting style, but the post-fight press conference, the in-octagon interviews, I think it's all a little bit of a stick.
It is a little bit of a shtick because but also it's the best kind, right? Because I do believe that guy is just absolutely off of his rocker, but in the best way possible, right? Mm. So he's comfortable in himself finally. Again, I said this before, when he first burst onto the scene in the UFC, I thought that he was like this Rain Man idiot savant. Like, he didn't speak very well. He was very just smooth, slow, calculated, had like this Corey Sandhagen style movement. He really was just like this, like, really, really polished looking thing. And then he got his knee and leg damn near ripped off in a motorcycle accident. He comes back, he can't move or do anything like that anymore. So he becomes like this Mexican style boxer where he just walks forward and peppers you to death and wants to fight you in a phone booth. And he's really, really good at it.
Yeah, good boxing.
He was super good prior to being injured, and he almost found a style that is better suited to him coming back on the other side of an injury. And he's on a tear. And we've talked about this before. Guys that are living their best life, or girls that are living their best life, they're dangerous, man. Strickland's got a lady that loves him. He's got a family. He's got a nice house. My man is feeling himself right now. So maybe it is a little gimmicky, but also it's probably who he is as a person. I mean, he's been posting weird shit on Instagram for the better half of 5 years now. So he just is taking that into the octagon with him now, because now they're letting him talk.
Well, yeah, and I don't think he's ever been privy to the microphone before, so your words get ahead of your mind. And I think when he says stuff like, I want to be the first person to kill someone in the octagon, that's just him just not being able to take a breath and really think about what he's saying. He's just throwing up words.
I think it's akin to Bisping, right? So remember Bisping for the longest time. I mean, he's more polished now because he's in a more corporate position. But when Bisping was a fighter, he would say whatever he wanted.
Right.
And not get without fear of cancel. Remember, he called Luke Rockhold a fag at the press conference.
Yeah, solid.
He literally was just like, and just threw it out. And people were like, well, he's also Michael Bisping. So what are you going to do? Sean Strickland's not unlike that, where he just kind of says and does whatever he wants, man. So what are you going to do?
Oh, man. Can you imagine if he did that in 2021?
He's going to. I guarantee you. Before the end of the year, if Sean Strickland fights again, he's either going to drop a hard R, or he'll say something akin to like a Bisping or something like that. It's coming. He gets talking so fast that he just can't help himself. And I'm here for it, because you know what? Just like Darren Till, he's genuine.
Right.
He's genuine. He's the same person. He doesn't give a shit whether you like him or not. He's going to go out there and he's going to do his job, and that's it.
Darren Till said,
"You can't cancel me. I don't care."
Yeah. Exactly.
Sean Strickland's the same way. What do you say? If it weren't for the UFC, I'd be cooking meth or in prison. Bro, if that ain't it, I don't know what is, man. That's as accurate a statement. I'll paraphrase what he said. If it wasn't the UFC, if it weren't for my wife, I'd be dead or in prison.
You know what's so gnarly, though, is you hear that, and you know Dana White's, sitting ringside, and he's hearing this shit, and then he hears, what, a couple fights before Cheyenne buys saying how, she's making 10 and 10 and she took out a massive loan. And thank God she got the performance of the night bonus of $50,000 because, she's been in the red. It's like, when you hear these are your rosters on your main event, this is what the quality of the people that you're portraying to the world of what you're trying to make a professional sport. And this is the quality of people you have. It's like, let's step it up, Dana. Come on.
Yeah. I honestly, I've always been an advocate for fighters being paid more, and I will die on that hill a million times over. Percentage of revenue paid to fighters or athletes is lower for the UFC than anything else. That being said, it's 2021. The paying anybody 10 and 10, even Jamie Simmons, who we're going to talk about here later on, is criminal.
It is criminal.
You're the largest organization on earth. First of all, I wish they would get rid of the 10 and 10 structure. It should just be show up money. Make it a higher number, split the difference in the middle, but make it guaranteed. 10 and 10 is ludicrous. Imagine Cheyenne Baez goes out there and tears her knee apart and loses a fight like Macy Barber did against Roxanne Modafferi. And you're going to pay a girl 10 grand. 10 grand and you're going to give her, you probably pay for a knee surgery and that's it. Come on, man. We got to do better than that. We also got to do better. To touch on to something different is like TJ Dillashaw with that cut on his thing. You can't just stitch that up in the back.
No.
Like that needs to go to a plastic surgeon and get fixed properly so it doesn't keep popping open every single time he fights. But instead, what do? They staple him up and then they send him out for the press conference.
Yeah, they give him a nice little Nate Diaz special, dude.
We've got to do better. Yeah. And I say we as if I'm part of this, but like as a whole, it's not going to be good legacy speaking. Looking back at Dana White and you're going to go, wow, you really grew the sport to this big, huge, amazing juggernaut. But when it collapses because these people are able to find better paydays elsewhere and sponsorship deals elsewhere and it goes apart, there's going to be this monolith of failure that we can look at and go, this is where we screwed this up. And the number one place that you're going to say you screwed this up is you didn't take good enough care of them financially. It's just not, I wouldn't fault anybody for not wanting to compete for that. It's crazy. 10 and 10? It's 2020, man. Or 2021. You can't pay people 10 and 10.
It's such a catch 22 though. And I know we have a big card up here in 265, but I do want to say this. Everyone thought this was going to be a dog of a card because it was a nine fight card, not that much name value. And people were like, oh, I'm going to go watch Bellator instead. I'm going to watch, you know, AJ. I'm going to watch Pitbull. The views,
bro,
in association, insane. You'd think that Bellator would by far and away blow the UFC out of the water, and they did not. They did a quarter of what they did.
Because Bellator made the mistake that the UFC made years ago. They put themselves on a premium channel that not everybody had. When the UFC was doing stuff on Spike TV, Spike TV was not regularly part of everybody's cable channel. So the viewership dropped. Yeah. So, you know, 177,000 views or whatever at peak, but it was on Showtime. That's a premium channel. You have to pay extra for that. Your average person doesn't have that. ESPN is considered or is in most basic cable packages or TV packages. So, yeah.
You get 975K on the main event. You get 775 on the, you know, the holistic card.
Right. That's brutal. And that's the best card that arguably the best card that Bellator could currently put together. As far as talent goes, there's some bigger talent, bigger names on the roster, but as far as who's healthy, who's ready to rock and roll, that was the best card they could have made. And they got smacked as far as views go, but again, it was on a premium channel. So you're shooting yourself in the foot there.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. You want to get into this main card?
Let's do it, dude.
All right. We're going to provide value, but move quickly. We have a little 20-minute rant session here. All right, first fight on the main card was that Song Yadong versus Casey Kenny. Song Yadong minus 110. Casey Kenny at a minus 120. Over under on rounds here, Trey, is at 2.5. Your team Alpha Male boys have been on a tear lately. Does that continue here with the Song Yadong fight?
You say on a tear because that card two cards ago, they went 3-for-3, but two of the three fights, let's be honest, the judging really got them the win there. So Song has been really interesting to me, man. This is tough. Can you believe this guy's only 23 years old? First off, he's only 23.
He's got a lot of miles on him for 23,
a ton of miles. You know, he's got reputable wins, Alejandro Perez, you know, Marlon Vera, even though I think he lost that Marlon Vera fight. But you know, and he's fought, Kyler Phillips, the Matrix dude, we just saw a couple weeks ago. I mean, he's fought people. He's explosive. He has his combinations are really elongated, which throws people for a little bit of a loop. I wish he'd kind of finish those combinations out, but he drags them on. He's explosive. He moves forward. The thing is, I've always liked Casey Kenny, and I think that, you know, while Song Yadong has you know, he has some significant wins, Casey Kenny's fought like the who's who. He's fought the Dom Cruises, the Merab Dalashvilis. He's fought people. And he's a threat on the ground. Now, Song Yadong coming from TAM, you have to think that those guys are going to have good wrestling, good takedown defense. But Casey Kenny's a different animal on the ground. I think that him by submission is the play here, Dale.
TAM. You threw that in there thinking I wasn't going to catch it, but you said TAM. So we're not doing Team Alpha Male anymore. We're just going to call him TAM.
Well, I feel like that's the Asian way to say Team Alpha Male.
Jeez, oh, man. Oh, gosh. Anyway. See, producer Jake's not here and the wheels come off. fun fact, guys, producer Jake's not here again tonight. We're putting producer Jake on waivers. You want to put him on waivers?
Oh, he's just I know, but then we only pay him in darts.
That's true. That's true. He does. He does work essentially for free. All right. I like Casey Kenny a lot. I think Casey Kenny and Nathaniel Wood are the future of the bantamweight division. I really do. Song Yadong's up there too. Again, back. I'm just going to say it again. Casey Kenny versus Nathaniel Wood. Casey Kenny versus Song Yadong. Stop pitting prospects against each other.
I know.
You're killing. You're cutting your nose off in spite of your face. I hate this trend. Why are we doing this? Why are we putting contender or future prospects and contenders against one another?
Right.
It's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. That being said, I like Casey Kenny in this fight. I think he's more well-rounded. I think he's had the better strength of schedule. And I think he's hungrier than Song Yadong is. I know Song, you know, it has a lot of people gassing him up, telling him he's the future of the division, telling him he's got all the potential in the world. And he does have a slight experience advantage.
Right.
I will say this. I like Casey Kenny. I think he's got Big Show experience. I think he's got the better strength of schedule, like I already said. I think he's more well-rounded. Submission play, I don't necessarily know about that, but I feel confident in Casey Kenny enough in this fight that I dig the minus 120 tag on him. Mm-hmm. Don't necessarily know that I love an inside the distance play, me personally, but if I can get him at decent money, I'm going to play him at decent money. I think he's got the skill set to beat Song Yadong here, and I think he will. I think he's going to, you know, move laterally to get out of the way of those extended combinations, like you said, that Yadong likes to throw. I would imagine that Song's going to try to use those to set up some clinch work against the cage. It's going to be really important for Casey Kenny to be able to establish underhooks, to be able to show that he's somebody to be reckoned with from a power perspective. He's got to get Song's respect early because yes. Yadong is very, very strong for a 135er. Mm-hmm. And while Casey Kenny's big, he's not necessarily the strongest guy. So it's important for him to establish respect early in the fight to stop a couple takedowns, to get a couple reversals against the cage, make Yadong work, make those muscles fill up with lactic acid, and then pour on the volume as we get into the latter half of the fight. I like Casey Kenny. I like him by decision.
Yadong's got to whip out that dong, dude, and get some respect.
Got to get some respect, some respect. All right, Tisha Torres, 12-5. Angela Hill at 13-9. These ladies have been going back and forth on it on Twitter, on Instagram. I think they even chirped at each other in person. Tisha Torres, minus 140. Angela Hill, plus 110. Over on our rounds is at 2.5. I'm going to go first here, Trey.
Go for it.
Angela Hill, when we talk about dogs that will fight for your money, Angela Hill will put herself in a position to win a fight every single time. That being said, as an underdog in this fight has split decision written all over it. Take Angela Hill, take her at the plus money. Tisha Torres can very well win this fight, but it will not be dominant in one way or the other. It's either going to be Angela Hill by something sneaky, or we got split decision action here. If you're looking for an opportunity, somebody that's going to fight for your money, not go out easily, Angela Hill's where it's at. Women's underdogs, science, plus 110. Just take it small, and let's get some plus money here.
Yeah, there's some animosity, obviously. This fight was supposed to go down at 256 on the Muhammad dude, what's the guy's name? Why am I blanking on the guy's name? Who's the guy that never gets a shot in the welterweight division for a title? Oh, my God.
Oh, you're talking about Bilal Muhammad?
Yeah, when he fought...
Leon Edwards?
Leon Edwards, sorry. That's when that fight was originally slated for, but then obviously Angela Hill got COVID. Tisha Torres ends up fighting Sam Hughes. They've been chirping. This is supposed to be going down. It's finally going to go down. Tisha Torres, I think she's going to be a little bit more the technical striker. I know Angela Hill's going to have more of the output, but I think it's going to be a little bit more sloppy. I think Tisha Torres is going to get the best of the exchanges. The big thing that I like, though, is Angela Hill's going to have a four-inch reach advantage. So she's going to be able to utilize that range, that length, that height, and she's going to get the better of the exchanges from distance. I like that. I think she's got a great cardio tank. Even though Tisha Torres, she's my little muscle babe, dude. She's my little muscle babe. That chick, I wish she was much more of a grinder and push it up against the cage, because I do think she can out-muscle Angela Hill. But to your point, Angela Hill is someone who's tested. She's tried. She's true. She can get through a fight, and you know that she'll work for your cash. I like Angela Hill here. I don't really put much weight in her last win over Ashley Yoder. I mean, if you remember last fight or last card, I chose Jenny Frey to beat Ashley Yoder because I don't think Ashley Yoder's that great. I don't think Angela Hill is that great, but I do think she can get enough points to get this thing done. But to your point, dude, that split to a little draw action. Should I throw it down? I like it.
Yeah, the only thing – so – the only thing that makes me nervous about draw plays is you're counting on the unexpected happening, right? You're counting on a drop or a 10-8 round or a point deduction. Because other than that, you're not going to see the draw, right? So you really got to look at somebody when you want to play a draw and say, are either of these fighters going to put themselves in a position to have a point taken, or are they capable of a 10-8 round? I don't believe that Angela Hill is capable of a 10-8 round, nor do I believe that Tisha Torres is capable of a 10-8 round. Groin strikes are going to be pretty much out of the question. So do I believe that either one of these chicks are going to poke the other one in the eye so much or grab the fence so much that we take a point away? I don't really see it. I do like a decision play, and if you can find a split decision prop, sure, go for it. But I think Angela Hill will go ahead and put herself, again, when it comes to plays like this, it's about putting yourself in a position to win the fight. Angela Hill will put herself in a position to win the fight. We may be on the good side of the judges. We may be on the bad side of the judges here. All the same, Angela Hill at plus money, and she'll put herself in a position to win. I don't believe Tisha Torres is going to finish her in any way, shape, or form. So yeah, I'll take the chance here. I'll take the chance. That being said, real quick, because you mentioned Ashley Yoder. You don't like Ashley Yoder now, but you've liked Ashley Yoder before in the past. You've been very high on Ashley Yoder. I want to make a plea to Ashley. Switch your camp.
Ooh.
Change your camp.
Ooh.
You are, one, you're a 500 fighter now, but two, you're not getting any better.
No.
She's not getting any better. No. The fundamental mistakes that she makes every fight, she makes them every fight. She's not correcting anything. So her strength is her jits. Her takedowns are not any good. She exits every exchange with her chin held high and her hands low. She has not fixed that at all. She has not gotten any better. She's getting worse or staying the same. And in this game, you can't stay the same. You can't get worse. You can only move forward. And Ashley Yoder is in purgatory right now from a skill set perspective. Change your camp.
Jale, would you say that Ashley Yoder is yodeling on top of a plateau?
Possibly so.
Ah, gotcha.
Bro, you're just going to pretend that I didn't rhyme with your plateau?
Possibly so. Damn it.
Come on, man.
Ah, shit.
Dude. Unbelievable. Michael Chiesa, plus 100, taking on Vicente Luque at a minus 110. Over on rounds is at 2.5 here. Go ahead, buddy. I'll let you have this one.
Dude, I'm jaded on this one. I'm going to tell you why. I'm jaded because I don't know if it's just me, but I catch myself betting on analyst fighting. Is that weird? Like if Paul Felder were to come back right now, I just think that he has a different type of IQ.
Okay.
Maybe it's because like linguistically they speak more coherent than someone that's just beating their brains out every single day. But someone behind the desk, I don't know. Does that gives me weight. Why does that give me weight?
Because it's the idea of coaching. So anybody that's ever competed and then transitions into coaching, you then find that when you go back to competing again, for some reason, you're better or you see the game differently, right? So like I played basketball for years. And then when I stopped playing as often and got into coaching and then got my certification to be an official, I started playing better. It just, I don't know what it was. I saw, everything seemed to slow down a little bit better. I had a better feel for the game. And I wasn't a bad player to begin with. I got better. Same thing with boxing. When I fought, I was okay at best. And then afterwards, like just when I'd move around and work with people or when I was at the prison and guys would be like, hey, will you hold mitts for me? Will you teach me this, do that, and the other? And then go back and again, it would feel better. I'd move better. I'd feel better. You know, it's just, there's something about when they say those that can't do coach or teach or whatever the case may be. It's not always the case because sometimes you get a James Krause style situation. James Krause became better after he became a coach.
Right.
And now he's better. I still don't think he's fantastic, but he's a great coach and he's a better fighter now. Whereas before he was just a decent fighter. Now he's a good fighter and a better coach. So I think there's something to that. And from an analyst perspective, yeah, they get a lot of time thinking, watching, looking, and like the name suggests, analyzing. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Well, I think my most redundant statement on this podcast is always like, hey, I believe this person's going to win if they stick to the game plan. And that's how it always is. Mm-hmm. And when you fight someone like Vicente Luque, who's averaging, you know, 5.74 strikes per minute, he's an absolute beast inside the pocket, will pepper you the strikes that have a power behind him. I don't want Michael Chiesa to abandon the wrestling or grapple heavy approach, being the heavier person in the division, the bigger person in the division, the more wearing person in the division, to get into a firefight. But I think with someone like Michael Chiesa, like I said, and especially getting him at plus money, someone who's analytical behind the desk and who I believe is going to have a better fight IQ and stick to the game plan, this is one of my most confident bets of the entire night, Dan.
See, I was initially there, right? I was initially with you. I'm there. But if I recall correctly, when Luque came in to the UFC, he was touted as a jits guy with decent hands. And then he's really just kind of gotten away with that and just been known for his hands.
Yeah.
So I guess my question then becomes, how legit is Luque's jits? Because we've never really seen it at peak level.
Right.
And is his peak level jujitsu enough to negate the wrestle to opportunistic jujitsu of a Michael Chiesa? Because Chiesa will wrestle first, jujitsu second. But he uses that style, that frame, that body, that sinew to wear you down, to make it ugly, to grind you out, and then ultimately get a submission. He's got a very Russian-style approach to his submission attack. It's a very clinch-heavy, wrestle, drag, mat return, you know, just make it ugly style. There's no finesse to the jujitsu of Michael Chiesa, right? It's all
right.
It's
a flow state, dude.
It's just
a wearing heavy body surf and essentially neon belly, side guard, all this stuff. But the thing is, to throw this back at you, throw a little query at you, man. Mm-hmm. Vicente Luque fought someone in Tyron Woodley, and Tyron Woodley, because he was, you know, maybe his heads were a little bit in the cloud. That was kind of the erosion we started to see of a Tyron Woodley, but he abandoned the hands and tried to do a wrestle heavy approach. And Vicente Luque shut it down. He shut it down.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So I don't necessarily know how confident I feel about Chiesa in this fight. Did you land on Chiesa?
I landed on Chiesa.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So to your point, that would have me lean to Luque.
I mean, about how motivated was Woodley in that fight? Honestly, I mean, he was deer in the headlights from the moment he walked out. Chiesa has been on a war path. He knows this is a huge jump up, not jump up in competition, but this is a statement win if he were to get it. Plus 100, dog little fight for your money. I love it.
What is, okay, let's play pros and cons. What is Chiesa's path to victory?
Wrestle. How does he
wrestle? Okay. So
over 2.5.
So over 2.5 is the play then.
Yeah.
So do you believe that Chiesa can knock out Vicente Luque?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Do you believe that he can submit Luque?
I've yet to see Luque's BJJ. I would think so normally. I mean, he's done it in the past.
Okay. So
he's got 11 of 18 wins by submission, man.
Okay. Do you feel like Vicente Luque can knock out Michael Chiesa?
Yes.
Do you feel like Vicente Luque can submit Michael Chiesa?
No.
Okay. So we have one guy that you feel his path of victory is either submission or decision, and the other guy you feel is either knockout or decision.
Right.
Okay. So we're just going to take the decision play here. Over 2.5.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Allegedly. All right. A co-main event of the evening. Pedro Munhoz versus Jose Aldo. It's a pick 'em over and on around. It's at 2.5. I'm about to get real unpopular.
Yes, dude, because I don't know. Go. Just go.
I'm taking Pedro.
Okay. Never mind. Shut up.
And I'm going to tell you why I'm taking Pedro.
Okay.
Because Pedro wants what Aldo has. Pedro is constantly fighting for respect. He wants so badly to be taken seriously as a contender. And every time he's right on the precipice of that happening, he either gets knocked down a peg or somebody takes a shot from him that should have been his. Aldo, for as good as he is not an elite bantamweight. He's not. And I know he's, what, 34, 35 years old? The amount of miles that Jose Aldo has on him, not good. And the utter beating that Petr Yan put on him is the type of beating that takes years off your life and takes months, if not years, off your career. Absolutely. Pedro Munhoz, statistically, the most hittable fighter in the UFC. The most hittable fighter on the UFC roster. However, how many times has he been knocked down?
Zero.
Illuminati, zero, bro. Yeah. Cover the eye up. He's not been knocked down. He will be there for it. Who started calf kicks? Who was the OG calf kicker? Pedro Munhoz. People that want to harken back to these days of Jose Aldo and his leg kicks, bro, those days are gone. Jose Aldo don't kick legs no more. Doesn't happen anymore. Jose Aldo's not going to go out there and kick legs. He's going to try to work the body. He's going to try to get, you know, he's going to try to work his boxing. Pedro Munhoz, better. He's better right now. Not better all time. Not better forever. He's better right now. Pedro Munhoz is going to beat Jose Aldo on Saturday night. And I hearken a guess that I think Pedro Munhoz might knock out Jose Aldo.
Oh my God, dude.
I'll say, bro, I love Jose. I do. People think that I hate him because I'm hypercritical of the people that I like the most. And you know this because I'm hypercritical of all your shit, but it's because I strive for you to be the best version of yourself possible. I like Jose Aldo a lot, but he has remained stagnant. He has not gotten better. And in fact, I believe he's regressed from what got him to the big show and what was winning him fights. We talk about head cases. This is it, man. This is it. He's a super head case. Dale trying to say Brazilian name is quite unique. I'm terrible at Brazilian names. Portuguese is not my thing, man. We can go and we'll get into this. When we get to like Polish and Eastern Bloc European names, I smack them. But Brazilian names, Portuguese, Spanish stuff, I suck, man. I'm sorry, Marvin. My bad, man.
But you love Portuguese sausage.
I don't know what that is, but
what?
What?
Dude, Portuguese sausage, dude? Those are little sausages that come with your eggs. They're delicious.
I don't eat at the same restaurants you eat at. I don't know what that fancy California stuff is. What are you talking about?
All right, never mind. All right. Well, let me serve you up some real knowledge then here.
Okay, man. Hit me with some facts. Yeah. Bro.
Your original sentiment. Pedro Munhoz wants what Jose Aldo has. Jose Aldo wants what he lost, dude. I don't think the fire's gone. I don't think it's gone.
Okay.
I really don't. I think go back to Jose Aldo when he fought Marlon Vera. Tell me a little bit about that, man.
What do you want me to tell you?
Who won that fight? Who won that fight?
I don't understand. Just make your point.
No, who won that fight?
Make your point.
Jose Aldo won that fight.
Aldo won the fight, but make your point. What do you got?
My point is Pedro Munhoz, the best thing he has going for him is people like to go back to the Cody Garbrandt. That is his highlight of all highlights and think, oh, he was in the fight. He was in the pocket throwing fists. He's never been knocked down. He's durable. You know, the crazy thing about Pedro Munhoz is that's not him engaging in a firefight. He keeps that constant pace. He matches your pace. That's one thing I will give him props on. He keeps that pace going. Go back to the Frankie Edgar fight. He was literally, for Frankie Edgar, who puts a ton of output out there, he was matching Frankie Edgar shot for shot. Jose Aldo, on the other hand, he throws you different angles. He switches stance. He moves around the cage. He's not going to be a back and forth fighter, leaning in, staying orthodox, and going back and forth. He's not going to do it. He's going to move around, show different angles. He's going to have a better fight IQ. I think he is more calculated in his approach. I think if you can get Jose Aldo to pick him against Pedro Munhoz, who literally has not fought the likes of anyone that Aldo has fought and has never been on a stage like Jose Aldo has. Dude, this is a co-main event spot. This is Jose Aldo's bread and butter. Pedro Munhoz has not been here. He has not lived it that many times. Jose Aldo, he wakes up, he's on a pay-per-view. It's normal daily routines. I love Aldo in this spot. This is a fucking sleeper pick right now.
Is this people's main event then?
Yeah, dude, don't make me put Jose Aldo as my ride or die, but I'm gonna fucking do it.
Is this
sound the alarm, sir? Jeez. By the way, people's main events, I'm pretty sure I'm 4-0.
You have won one people's main event, and it was the robbery that you were gifted with the Macy Barber Miranda Maverick.
Well, I won.
I mean, you're currently on a one fight win streak. Yes.
What's up, dog?
Yeah, I mean, we need to keep track of this. By the way, all right, main event of the evening: Ciryl Gane taking on Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis +275, Gane at a -350. Pretty sure those weren't the odds I read off to you. I thought it was a -400 for Gane, and a +300 on Derek Lewis. All the same, super plus money on Derek Lewis. And two, I mean, just a to use Anik's word, a prohibitive favorite on Cyril Gane here. I can't play him at minus 350. It's dog or pass for me in that regard. I'll play Derek Lewis at plus 300. Why not? Why not? Because
you're throwing money down the drain?
Yeah, I mean, you play him small. It's plus 300. So what? You put $100 on him. Why not?
Oh, I'm sorry. You play it small, you put $100 on it. Who's this guy? You don't know about Portuguese sauce if you're throwing $100, just whatever. Who is this guy?
This Shut is money.
God, dude. Like, act like you don't go to a five-star restaurant. Suck it.
Listen, my betting budget and my eating budget are different.
Jeez. What do you eat? SpaghettiOs? Like, dude, that makes no sense. You're throwing money like that, but what? You're on the back end, you're not treating yourself to Portuguese sausage?
What I'm saying, listen, what I'm saying is if I spend $100 on Derek Lewis here and it smacks, then I'm good to go for the next, you know, the next two events on money, man.
You're a house money player.
I'm a house dude. Come on, man.
AMC to the moon.
AM to row. I am so deep on AMC and GameStop right now. I'm telling you. Well, it's funny. I had this thought today. If AMC and GameStop smacks the way it's going to should I still do the show?
You should get out of AMC. It was down $1.30 today. I'm telling you, dude, it's stuck in the mud. This is get out, bro. Get out.
They haven't covered yet, man. The shorts haven't covered. All right. Yeah, I'm going to take Derek Lewis, man. I don't think he's going to win this fight. Just going to throw this out there. I don't believe Derek Lewis is going to win this fight, but I can get him at a great price, and he's got a puncher's chance. I picked Alexander Volkov to beat Derek Lewis, and for, 14 minutes and 30 seconds, Alexander Volkov did exactly that. And then Derek Lewis stole all my money by punching Alexander Volkov in the face.
Yeah.
Derek Lewis has this weird, stupid thing. Same thing with Derek Lewis against Curtis Blaydes, right? We had the same odds, essentially, for Curtis Blaydes versus Derek Lewis, and Derek Lewis pulled off some bullshit. I will say this. Gane is not going to put himself in a position like Volkov did or like Curtis Blaydes did. One takeaway from the Gane versus Volkov fight, because I was super high on Volkov in that fight, I underestimated the fight IQ of Cyril Gane. I thought having nine professional kickboxing fights and whatever he's got, 11 professional MMA fights, I did not anticipate the cerebral approach that he would take to fighting like he did with Volkov. And while I think that you can make an argument that Volkov won two out of those five rounds, even though two judges gave it clean sweep for Gane, but that's here nor there. That's judging yet again. All that to say, Gane was much more systematic in his approach. And I don't see himself putting himself in the position to let Derek Lewis win this fight. I think he fights this fight super intelligently, but Derek Lewis has a puncher's chance and he's never out of the fight. Derek Lewis has my knock against him is he doesn't always put himself in the positions to win fights that he's losing, but he always has a puncher's chance.
Right.
And we've never seen Gane in trouble. So if for some reason, by the grace of the good Lord, Derek Lewis can get Gane in trouble, we have no idea how he's going to react because we've never seen him in a storm before. So we don't know what it looks like. So maybe a small play, maybe not $100, but maybe a small play on Derek Lewis isn't the worst idea, my opinion.
It says enough right here that the over and under is set at 4.5. How many times do you see heavyweight fights greater than 1.5? Very seldom.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing. It's Gane, right? And the reason why this fight is what it is,
it's because he's a boring decision fighter. Bozer, Rosenstruck, Volkov. Like, it's all the same shit. Very, very smart fight IQ, like you said. And yes, he can get it done. Like, we saw that. What was it? The elbow to JDS's temple that just knocked him out cold. He's done that. Relatively the same area, dude. Jeez, you give me a 2-inch buffer there. Lewis is the one punch knockout power, though. You can't throw a little bit. I'm not throwing $100 down on Derek Lewis to get it done, but it's in Houston, hometown. He's coming in motivated. I love it. Derek Lewis, to me, dude, if you always talk, I feel like you always talk a little bit of shit about my tennis career, but I'm going to give you a little tennis analogy real quick here. Give me a little tennis analogy here, dude. One of my favorite tennis players of all time, Andy Roddick. Who's the pride of USA, of course, married an absolute smoke show. He was very one-dimensional, though. He had 140-mile-an-hour serve, kind of stayed at the baseline, wasn't really the smartest player, but he had that massive serve that always put him on the offensive very quickly. Derek Lewis is an Andy Roddick in the heavyweight division. He's got it very one-dimensional, and he's got his shot. But Ciryl Gane is great on the ground, which we've seen, which we know that Derek Lewis, no one's tried to exploit it, but they can exploit his BJJ. They can wrestle him. They can move. They can utilize his shit cardio against him later rounds. Daniel Cormier, exactly. Ciryl Gane is the play here, 1,000%. If you can find value by attaching, whether it's the over, the decision, whatever it is, to Ciryl Gane's name, that's what you have to do. But, you know, Popeye's chicken, people got to eat. Houston, Texas, Derek Lewis by KO is also juicy if you're feeling froggy.
I don't talk shit about your tennis career at all. I'm actually really proud of you. I'm serious. I wish you'd lean into it more. Listen, now here's the thing, right? Is that I'm glad you brought this up because this is something that's been on my heart today. I'm dead serious.
Okay.
It's important. Yeah. And I'm not going to get, before we get into the prelims, I'm not going to get on super rant here. It's important that you support the people around you. So if you have friends, loved ones, whatever, and you're not supporting them, like in their endeavors, whether they're starting a business or they're trying something new or whatever, and or vice versa, you're doing something and they're not supporting you, reevaluate your people. Because you need people that lean into you, and you need people that you can lean into and that you can feed off of each other. I never watched you play tennis, but I'm proud of shit of you for being a Division I athlete playing tennis. I think it's amazing. It's the same thing. Remember when we had Taylor on the show for the first time? And he was shortchanging his wrestling credentials. And I'm like, dude, you won a junior college national championship or whatever it was.
Right.
Don't shortchange yourself. You worked your ass off and you achieved something that other people, that was their life goal, and you accomplished it. So don't shortchange that. And I wanted to bring this up anyway. I was going to do it at the end of the show, but now's as good a time as any. A listener to our show, an OG listener, he's in the chat tonight. Sean McVan is running for mayor of the town that he lives in.
Yeah, it's badass.
Which is one of the most badass things imaginable. I absolutely love it. He's running up against the incumbent, and the guy or girl, I can't remember what he said, has been running unopposed for a long time. So this career politician now has a fresh face, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed guy that wants to make a difference coming after him. And I wholeheartedly lean into that. Like, I want you to succeed. I want you to do fantastic. And I think anybody that's interacted with us on social media, there's just as many people that send us messages that fade our picks than as people that do that ride with us. I want you to win. If it means listening to me and going, Dale's an idiot, and then playing the opposite of me and you cash, bro, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you. I want to see you win. I want to lean into people that are willing to support what I'm doing. So you listen to our show, I'll take that energy so you can win your slip. I'm cool with that. That's a good exchange for me. So if you don't have people and you don't have friends like that, or your loved ones aren't like that, you need to be that person for them, or find people that will be that person for you. So I don't shortchange your tennis career. I freaking love you for having your tennis career, and I wish you could still play. And when you get your black belt, I'll be happy for you then too. So don't shortchange your shit, man. I'm proud of you.
You got me all hyped on Sean, dude. I hope they don't do mail-in ballots, because if they do mail-in, he's fucked. Otherwise,
if they mail-in, let's mail-in. Let's get everybody that listens to the show to vote for him.
He'll get fucked. They'll get thrown in a ditch or something like that. But I will go there in person for Sean, as would every other American, vote for him. He'd win outright and truthfully.
Well, fair elections are a different show for a different day, Trey.
Come on, take the carrot.
I will not. All right, man. Let's rifle through these prelims real quick. Johnny Munoz taking on Jamie Simmons. Simmons at 7-3. Johnny Munoz at 10-1. Simmons is not a UFC level talent.
Ooh,
he hasn't been, and we've cashed on him consistently, and we're going to cash on him one more time. Johnny Munoz under 2.5. Lock it in.
Yeah, dude. Jamie obviously came in for one reason, one reason only, and that was to by Giga Chikadze, or Chikadze, as I like to call him, dude. That was for Giga Chikadze to come in and actually get him on the highlight reel, 1,000%. Johnny Munoz, though, he has this like super wearing style, dude. He's exhausting. and there's just no way that Jamie Simmons gets this done. It's that kind of like drowning pressure that he gives. And if you want to play something even a little bit cute, dude, Johnny Munoz by submission. I totally see that happening.
Jamie Simmons is the guy that whenever you watch an old school fighting movie like Bloodsport or Kickboxer or anything like that, he's the guy that gets killed in a weird way in the first round. Like whenever there's well, like when they're doing the montage while the hero's getting built up to the finals, Jamie Simmons is one of the dudes that gets beat like in a weird way. That's what he is.
Dude, play inside the distance on this one.
That's what I said, under 2.5.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, cool.
Speaking of which, you had the Rona.
Yeah.
You watched a lot of movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
So you finished Big Lebowski.
Yep.
Did you watch Pulp Fiction?
No.
Did you watch Bloodsport?
No.
Damn it. What? So none of the list I sent you.
No, I watched a lot of the Olympics. I got into House of Cards, which is dope. I want to be a politician like Sean now. That was it, man. A little TMZ.
Gotcha.
Some Bachelor.
Yeah. Man. Come on, dude. I just said all these nice things about you. Melissa Gatto taking on Victoria Leonardo. Victoria Leonardo at 8-3. Melissa Gatto at 6-0. But she does have two draws. So, does the O go when we're fighting Leonardo?
Gatto's hardcore. She hasn't fought in 3 years, but prior to then, she's gnarly. She's got really good takedowns in the transition. She's just – that's what she does, dude. She's going to shoot for a double immediately, and she's going to try and get the submission going. Leonardo, though, she's going to have a grapple-heavy attack too. So don't expect these people to stand in the center and throw hands unless they're both a little bit worried that they're both going to take each other down, which is going to negate the whole thing. I think 1,000% this thing's going to go over 2.5, as you know most women fights do. But I like Gatto in this, dude. She's really aggressive. She's super aggressive.
Victoria Leonardo is a big broad. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. That's a big chick, man. That's a big chick. And here's my thing, right? And I'm just going to be honest with you here. I don't know. We haven't really had the situation before, so I don't know what to do with this. Let me see here. Where is this?
While you're looking for that, dude,
yeah,
the one thing ahead. I do like about Victoria Leonardo is she fought one of probably our – I don't want to say it's one of our most – favorite women fighters as of recently, but Man and Fiat.
Yeah.
That chick, which we think is like that she's a cold-blooded killer. She fought her. She got absolutely murdered, but you know, that doesn't tell us much.
Victoria Leonardo beat Haley before.
But you have to fade her.
So do we fade Victoria Leonardo because she beat Haley?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
It's all so about Juju.
All about Juju. All right. So we'll ask Haley whether or not it's okay to play Leonardo. If she says no, then we'll fade her and go with Gatto.
Shit. How did she beat Haley?
I think she choked her out. Yeah, rear naked choke.
That's what I'm saying, dude. This is gonna be a grapple heavy fight. Play both sides by sub. That's what they're both gonna be diving for.
Yeah. There's actually so here's the thing though, is that was Haley's pro debut. So does that count?
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm saying I know it counts from a record perspective, but like from an experience perspective, you know, are we putting a lot of stock in the fact that Victoria Leonardo beat Haley on her
Haley's
pro debut? Okay.
No.
All right. I'm leaning Leonardo just because she's so big, but I'm not sold on this fight yet. I'm not sold. I'll probably just wait till like right before and see who the underdog is and then play the underdog.
There you go. It's science.
Right. Speaking of underdogs, Anderson Dos Santos taking on Miles John. Anderson Dos Santos at 21-8. Miles John's at 11-1. Trey, this is a fight a few weeks ago when it was initially on the schedule. I was on Anderson Dos Santos. You were on Miles John's. Did we make this a people's main event or no?
We did, and then it got canceled.
It got canceled. That being said, when we made it the people's main event, the odds were different than they are now. I don't necessarily love these odds. now the keen eye would say, well, Dale, if Dos Santos is a bigger underdog now and you know you liked him so much before, play him because it's opportunity for you to win more money.
Dude, I know why these lines changed.
Why? Okay, so your opinion on why they changed, but my thought process is I've had more time to think about this now.
Okay.
And smart money has come in and really shored up this line to where it needs to be. And now that all the proper smart money has come into it, it's landed in a spot where I don't trust it, other than to say that the money's where it needs to be with Miles John at a minus 200 over on arounds at 2.5. I'm probably going to lean Miles Johns, but I'm probably not going to bet this fight.
What's that? What's that like quote? You're only as good as your last, you know, whatever. Yeah. What is that quote? Sure, yeah. Whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Miles Johns got even deeper on this line 1000% because of Adrian Yanez. If you remember, Miles Johns beat Adrian Yanez in the LFA bantamweight title to own that belt. We all saw Adrian Yanez and what a fucking stud that guy is. As of recently, the line got deeper for that reason. Miles Johns came into that fight, wrestle heavy attack, great takedowns, holding position, very strong on the ground. Dos Santos is just not on the same level. And unfortunately, his record is spotty because he's taken 2 week short notice fights, and you know, had losses to people like Andre Ewell, a Mickey Mouse dude. Oh boy, and it's like,
oh boy,
yeah. And you're only as good as your last fight or your last win or what your record states. So the line got deeper for Miles Johns based on quality of competition. I'm still sticking with Miles Johns, but minus 200 is too rich for my taste. Too much Portuguese sausage for this boy. I'm going inside the distance on this.
I love you driving this Portuguese sausage thing. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Dude, they look like quarters and they're thick, like half. They're like half dollars and they're delicious.
Interesting. I have no idea. Okay. Is it like the seasoning that makes them Portuguese or what is it?
Okay. So for the episode tomorrow, when we launch it, the tile is just going to be Portuguese sausage.
Gotcha. I understand.
So I'll show you tomorrow.
It's true. Nate says Mickey Mouse voice is on point. That's having three kids and watching tons of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse is what that is.
Come inside.
It's fun inside, which I agree, which is how you make more kids. Come inside. It's fun inside. It's all subliminal messaging from Disney. That being said.
No. Oh, no, dude. This is Aladdin all over again.
No, you're good. Oh, no. Shout out to Nate and James. One, yes. they had me on their show. What was that? Last week before last, where we talked about it. And I gave a bunch of picks out and they were all wrong. So I owe you guys for that. And then second of all, they were at the Bellator fight doing just some straight up press and killed it.
Yeah.
So, we keep trying to, you know, get them to give us the secret on how to get press passes, the thing, but they're playing it pretty close to the chest there. They won't tell us. I think they're afraid. But I don't be afraid, homie. Let's all go together, man. Let's live it up. You know, one team, one fight, strictly MMA and punchless MMA. We'll just do it up together.
Yeah,
one team, one fight.
Strictly MMA, freaking ringside at Bellator. Dude, they were swinging that song, you dong, dude.
They were. They had a good time, and they looked good doing it. Bunch of two good-looking dudes. All right, man. Dude, we have so many fights left. Shut up. Okay. Manel Kapp taking on Odey Osborne. Odey Osborne at 9-3. Manel Kapp at 15-6. Kapp has let me down twice now, although the last time he got robbed. I'm going to take him at minus 180 here because I'm not high on Osborne. Oh. We don't have any footage on him. Dude. We don't have any footage on him, Trey. You can't bet on a guy you haven't seen before. Take Cap, minus 180. It's the last time. This is it. I've told myself this before. This is the last time I'm going to bet on this guy. I'm taking Cap. I'm going to take him to beat Osborne. I know it's an unpopular opinion. Dude. It's not Cap.
Okay. Well, Manel Cap, dude. Everyone wanted to think he was the rising freaking dude, right? Coming over to the UFC, but he has not lived up to the hype. Odey Osborne, you're right. We don't have enough tape on him, but you know what we do have? We do have stats. And the stats are he's coming down from 145 to 125 for this fight. He's going down two weight classes. And we do know he has explosion. He's good in a grapple heavy approach. This is a really awkward matchup for Cap, dude. I don't like this at all. He hasn't lived up to the hype, and a guy that's coming down two divisions to fight, who is an explosive striker and can have a grapple-heavy approach at plus 155. Why? Cap has not showed me anything. Odey at least has shown me that he is competent in his striking. And when you come down that much and you're going to rehydrate, get your blood, you know, pumping, you got the hydration going. I'm taking Odey Osborne for sure.
All right, I'm taking Cap.
Okay. Boom. Fantastic.
Carolina Cole Cage taking on Jessica Penei. Carolina 12-6, Jessica Penei at 13-5. I can't bet with my heart here, can I?
I always do with Carolina.
I'm going to take her. I'm just going to take her, man. I just.
You're swayed by that little – when they call her name out and she puts her back up against the cage and gives that little sexy, sweet smile that's like, I'm cute and I don't really want to be here, but then I murder people. It's like hot, but it's also very sweet. You're swayed.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't even know if necessarily know if it's a looks thing, but she's so nice.
I know.
She's so nice, and she literally just – I don't know, man. Like, I think about, yeah, I don't know. I like her style. When she was winning fights, she was an absolute murderer. And then she's been in such a bad spot lately, the last few years. I just want to, again, I want to see people that I like do well. And I like Carolina Cole Cates a lot. And I like her more than Jessica Penei. Penei, I mean, she freaking won her last fight, which I can't believe it, because I went in on her, said she's not a UFC level talent, and I'm going to stand by that decision yet again. I know that we talk about women's underdogs being science. I know you said plus 110 here. It's a damn pick'em, Trey, and when it's a pick'em, I can pick how I want, and I'm picking Carolina. It's a pick'em.
I'm going to take her too, and not just because she's coming out of retirement. But more so, it's who she's training with, who she's surrounding herself with. She's training now with Joanna Jędrzejczyk. I like that. I think Joanna knows what's up. So I'm going to go with Carolina. That sexy smile is going to put on some blood.
That's a weird thing that you're focusing on her smile, because I think that
might it's so cute, dude.
I think
it's
that might be her worst feature is her smile.
No, because no one else does that. She puts her hands behind her back, and then she leans up against the cage while Bruce Buffer's screaming his freaking jugulars out. Yeah, I love it.
Literally every chick that fights in the UFC, with the exception of like Amanda Nunes and Jermaine Durandamy, look like they have no idea they're about to get into a fight. They all just go out there and they just stand. Like every dude is bouncing, stretching, shaking out the arms, doing whatever, slapping their legs. Every chick that walks out just stands there.
It just does Anchorman. What do I do with my hands?
Yeah, no, that's Talladega Nights. But yes, come on, man, get your damn it, Trey, get your life together, dude. Look at this freaking guy. Look at the.
This guy is on another level, dude. We need a guest spot for Marvin.
Serbia 77, China 70, live bet plus 155. My man hooked it up. Appreciate that 155 banger in the chat. Here's the thing, man, is that every one of them, and Carolina might be the worst, is because she goes and she stands there on her head. She literally,
yeah,
she
said, I know, it's this, dude. It's this thing. Yeah.
Worst. It's bro, you're about to get into a fist fight. Get your life together, man. Find that dog. I hate that, man. Golly.
It's the worst. Anyway. Almost as much as redheads.
I don't know what you mean by that. All right, Ed Herman, which, speaking of redheads, did you say that on purpose?
Yes, dude, that's my transition. Come on, get with me.
I'm trying, man. Honestly, I'm so old, I've got a rogue nose hair that's tickling the inside of my nose. It's driving me nuts. So fun fact is once you're over 35, you get hair everywhere, and I've been battling nose hair lately. So that's a fun thing. Ed Herman taking on Alonzo Menifield. Ed Herman, 25-14, Alonzo Menifield at 10-2, Trey. Over on rounds. One and a half. Finally, we have something that's not at 2.5. There's going to be more finishes than the odds makers would like here. But I think this is a fight that does go, that does end inside the distance here. Right. I'm inclined, and I know you already know this, I'm inclined to go Ed Herman here.
I knew you were. I knew it. Why did I know that?
Because Ed Herman is a grizzled veteran. He is. Dude, there is nobody on the roster right now, currently, that's more OG than Ed Herman. Okay. Who's a bigger OG than Ed Shortfuse Herman on the roster right now? Name one.
I can't.
Because I can't. Ed Herman is the OG on the roster right now. And he's taken on this huge mammoth of a man that is Alonzo Menifield. Now, Ed Herman gets hit a lot. And Alonzo Menifield, atomic Alonzo, justifiably so, hits like an atomic bomb and can knock Ed Herman out. But we've got atomic and we've got short fuse. So which one, who sets off the bomb first? I'm inclined to lean Ed Herman, but ultimately, I think this will be the first time in the history of this show that I bet against Ed Herman. I think it's now. I think now is the time to pull the rug out from under Ed Herman here. I'm going to go Alonzo Menifield.
Dude, Ed Herman hasn't really won. And I say really won. You know why? Because the Mike Rodriguez Kimura win was
The best. That is the dude. When you talk about a veteran doing veteran things, that's it. That's it. Listen,
cheating.
Listen, if I'm in the cage,
yeah,
and you kick me in the dick and I get unlimited time and I'm tired, I'm taking until I feel better. Everybody's in a big rush to get back. Take your time. You poke me in the eye, I'm taking my time. Every time you grab my glove, every time you do anything, I'm chirping to the ref. I'm doing everything possible to bend every rule, every regulation, every stipulation right before I break it and then stopping it. Ed Herman did exactly what he needed to do to win that fight, and I applaud him for it.
So by that theory, that Aljamain Sterling's your favorite fighter?
No, not at all. Not at all.
He bent the rules so much he got a championship belt. Come on, dude.
Right.
What are we talking about here? I mean, grizzled veteran move.
That wasn't a grizzled veteran move.
What was it then?
That was taking the easy way out on a fight you were losing.
Same thing with the Mike Rodriguez Ed Herman fight.
There's a difference because what Piotr Jan threw was a blatantly illegal blow. Ed Herman got hit in the liver and claimed it was a dick shot. That's him being dishonest. Not the same as Piotr Jan. Aljamain Sterling could be the most dishonest person on the planet Earth. It does not negate the fact that Piotr Jan kneed him in the face after looking at his corner and going, should I knee him in the face? And his corner was like, knee him in the face. And he was like, all right, cool, I'm gonna knee him in the face. And then he kneed him in the face. That's not the same thing. What Ed Herman did was equivalent to Dustin Poirier hooking his toes into the cage so he could crawl out of Conor McGregor's guillotine attempt. That's what it was.
I think that bullshit Kimura is going to come back and bite him in the
Maybe
eye.
So, man. Maybe
and
so.
I say that because Alonzo Menifield, people think he's going to get it done by KO because he does hit like an absolute truck. But, dude, how did he win his last fight? By Von Fluchoke.
Yeah.
So don't sleep on this guy as it relates to his submission. I think the safest play, obviously, is inside the distance, but I do like Alonzo Menifield in this for sure, dude.
All right, man. Vince Morales taking on Draco Rodriguez. Rodriguez at 7-2, Morales at 9-5. I pick him here on most books over and arounds at 2.5. I was huge on Rodriguez last time he was out, and he lost and broke my heart. And as such, my budget for the night, am I a little bit sour on that going into this fight? I am. You got beat by Ayman Zahabi, who I just don't understand how you get knocked out by Ayman Zahabi. The flip side of that, Vince Morales, I'm a big fan of him, but losses to Chris Gutierrez, who will kick the crap out of you. But the biggest one, right, is the loss to Benito Lopez. How do you lose to Benito Lopez?
He lost to Song Yadong, too.
He did lose to Song Yadong, but you know who he beat? You know who his lone win in the UFC came against? Huh. Ayman Zahabi.
Solid, dude. I love it.
Oh, man. So, yeah. Do you do MMA math here and say Vince Morales beat the guy that just beat Draco and then take Vince? Do you do MMA math?
No, you just stay away from this.
Take Rodriguez. He's gonna knock him out. All right. And then last fight, I believe. Yeah, man. Rafael Fiziev taking on Bobby Green. Bobby Green at 27-11-1. Rafael Fiziev at 9-1. Everybody's big on the Fiziev train here, -305 Bobby Green. +245 over and around is at 2.5. Do not sleep on the experience and the fight IQ of Bobby Green. Bobby Green is a very talented, smart fighter. Fiziev has all the tools, at least it appears anyway. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because I hate the hype train thing. Has all the tools, at least initially from a hands perspective, to be a champion. We don't know what the ground looks like. We don't know what five-round cardio looks like, so I don't want to tag him as a future contender just yet. Bobby Green is the first test. Bobby Green is a great litmus test to see where you're at skill-wise. Bobby Green will not go out there and engage in a kickboxing match against Rafael Fiziev. I don't love him at the price of minus 300. Maybe throw him into a parlay to make it more palatable, but even then, Bobby Green, dog that'll fight for your money, plus 245. It's not the worst play.
Rafael Fiziev, to me, reminds me of like a rougher version of our friend Calvin Kattar. I don't know why. It's just kind of like not as calculated in his approach, but his boxing, especially in close quarters, is deadly. And I think Bobby Green, to your point, he's a smart fighter. So if he's able to wrestle, he's able to slow the pace down and not allow Fiziev to dictate it or get shots off in close quarters. There's value there. There's absolutely value there.
Okay, let's go top to bottom. Again, we are going to, I'm going to go ahead and make the blanket statement. The picks on the show are not the picks on the slips. The slips come out on Instagram about 3 to 4 hours prior to the event that have our actual official plays on it. Everything that we talk about on the show is subject to change. Our official plays for the night are available on our Instagram at PunchlistMMA a couple hours before the fight. Usually about 3 to 4 hours before the first fight is when the plays come out. Gives you plenty of time if you want to follow or fade. Instagram at PunchlistMMA. But top to bottom, Trey, initial leanings, just initial leanings, money line winners. Here we go. Ready?
Let's do it.
Munoz Simmons.
Munoz, sorry.
I'm on Munoz. Gatto Leonardo.
I'm going to take Gatto.
Gatto, but probably going to be the underdog, whoever that is. Dos Santos, Miles Johns.
Miles Johns.
I'm on Johns. Cap versus Osborne.
Osborne.
Cap. Kolakiewicz, Jessica Penne.
Kolakiewicz.
I'm on Kolakiewicz as well. Ed Herman, Alonzo Menafield.
Alonzo Menafield.
Maybe Menafield. Rodriguez Morales.
Rodriguez.
Fiziev. Or I'm on. Wait, did I say anything for that? Rodriguez as well.
No, you're on Rodriguez, right, though.
Yeah. Green and Fiziev.
Fiziev.
I'm on Fiziev as well. Yadong Kenny.
Kenny.
I'm on Kenny as well. Hill Torres.
I'm going to go Hill.
I'll go Hill as well. Chiesa Luque.
Chiesa.
Initial Chiesa, yes. Munoz Aldo.
Aldo, People's Main Event.
Munoz, People's Main Event. Derek Lewis, Cyril Gane.
Cyril Gane.
I'm on Gane as well initially, but I'm probably going to bet Lewis. I'm just going to let you know Lewis will probably be on my slip. Disgusting. All right. No, you know it is what it is. I'm just letting you know now. All right.
That's a Popeye's greasy pick there.
Yeah, that's right. Guys, if you don't already do so, you can follow us anywhere at Punchless MMA. You can shoot us an email if you want at chat at Punchless MMA if you'd like to. Best way to support the show is by supporting our show sponsors, AllegianceClothing.com. You can use promo code PUNCH and save 15% on the entire thing. Or you go to Stay Classy Meats, use promo code FIST, save 10% on your entire order, and get farm-to-table fresh meat delivered directly to your door. Also a great opportunity there. So that's the best way to support the show. If you haven't already done so, please leave us a review on iTunes. If it is a review and you think we're worthy of 5 stars, we always appreciate that. If you want to write something, that's even better. We do like to do giveaways. We're probably not going to do a giveaway for this event, but what's the next pay-per-view? What's the next pay-per-view? I feel like we've got a big one coming up. Let me see. Oh, you know what we'll do the next giveaway for?
Oh, it's Ortega Volkanovski.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do it for that.
266, yeah.
Yeah, 266, September 25th. We'll do a giveaway for that, but let's do a giveaway. They booked Edson Barboza versus Giga Chikadze as well. So let's do a giveaway for that one on August 28th. So we'll come up with a contest for that. We'll do a giveaway for that. Those of you that participated in the Tai Tui Vasa Shui Challenge, your t-shirts went out in the mail yesterday, finally.
Yeah,
dude. And then I am happy to report that Trey finally sent our t-shirt designs over to Roy at Allegiance. So we are going to get some shirts out to you guys here sooner rather than later. Bye, that's really kind of it, man. You got anything else?
That's it. Real quick. Strickland or Rockhold?
Oh, Strickland for sure.
I don't agree, but okay.
You think Luke Rockhold's going to beat Sean Strickland?
Yes.
He literally...
How many leg kicks did Uriah Hall throw in that fight?
Bro, he just... Zero. Uriah Hall is black Luke Rockhold.
Oh my God. Absolutely not.
It's the same skill set. The only difference is Luke Rockhold gets knocked out all the time. It's the same skill set. That's it. It's literally a before and after picture. They're white and black of the same skill set. It's created fighter in the game already.
Oh my God. That's all it is. Then you make it racist. Jeez,
it's not dude. Racist at all.
You just called it white and black.
They are. They're the same person, except one's white and one's black.
Oh, I thought you were saying that like their styles are very white and black.
Black and white, that would be complete opposites of each other. That'd be like, if that were the case, it would be Luke Rockhold's like a Khabib style and Uriah Hall's Yair Rodriguez. That would be the white-black comparison. I'm saying that Luke Rockhold and Uriah Hall have the same exact skill set, except one of them's white and one of them's black. That's not racist at all. That's just literally common.
Bro, I don't see color.
Okay, well, you know what? I don't know what you want me to tell you here. Sean Strickland just beat the hell out of Uriah Hall. He's going to do the same thing to Luke Rockhold. Right. If they book that fight. Honestly, the fight to make is Sean Strickland versus Darren Till. That's the fight to make. Everybody's big on the Sean Strickland versus Luke Rockhold thing. That's a bigger fight than Luke Rockhold deserves. Sean Strickland's currently ranked, he should be in the top, he should be at five or perhaps like six or seven this week. That's a bigger, Luke Rockhold should not come back after getting dusted three times in a row 2 years ago to fight the top five middleweight. There's no way. That's a bigger fight than Luke Rockhold deserves. Give Luke Rockhold Derek Brunson.
Dude, if your wife bought you Luke Rockhold's Ralph Lauren cologne, would you wear it?
No, I don't wear cologne.
Ever?
I don't like smelling myself, no.
You don't like smelling yourself?
I literally wear like a odorless deodorant.
You're so vanilla, dude.
It's not vanilla at all. I just don't. I don't like smelling myself.
It's not for you. It's for other people.
Who do I need to smell good for?
Your wife.
We've been married for 20 years. I have three kids. I smell just fine. Clearly,
it's like saying you have no feelings.
I have plenty of feelings. I just don't like smelling myself. I don't. That's not how I am, man. I just don't. I don't wear cologne. I'm not 19 anymore. I'm not going out to the club. I don't need to wear cologne.
Well, I hope you smell a winning slip this week because you fucking need it.
You're so lame. You're so lame. I appreciate everybody tuning in the live stream. We'll catch you guys. I'll see you. I'll talk to everybody next week. Trey will talk to you guys this week.
So bang, bang.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.